keep Rayman Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Your continued support allows us to continue to make all this content and offer even more in the future. Help us keep the lights on by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/RayManDigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it to the
Superman.
That's right.
Who are you?
The last of us.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
All right. Once again, it's DC on RMD Watchmen Edition on Rayman Digital. Find us on all your favorite podcast providers. Remember to rate, subscribe, review. It helps us out a ton. It is me, the one and only Bobby Dean. With me, as always, is Angelica Dawn.
Oh, hello.
What accent was that?
I don't know. That's just... I don't think that was an accent. I think I just say that sometimes. Like, I'll be like, hello, or I'll be like, ye. Like, for some reason. I don't know why.
Sometimes I don't even know if you're there.
Yeah.
You come in so quiet sometimes. You're like, hey.
It's my... Yes. That's also another language I speak is just the whisper.
The whisper talk.
Yeah. It's how you talk to ghosts, obviously.
Oh, I did not know that.
Sometimes demons.
I am smarter now.
We are actually very smart watching this episode. I know.
Yes, I should have said my fellow crystal ball viewer, because yes, we were definitely kind of spot on what happened this week. This was episode 8, A God Walks Into a Bar. Angelica, what happened?
Well, mostly I was right about the fucking Jupiter thing. Yes. And then...
I went all planetarium on him.
And we discover why Dr. Manhattan fell in love with Angela. I think that sums it up pretty well. Because then all the little pieces from that all come together for this.
Yeah.
And you know what? Like, going into this, even like halfway through, just like that question of like, why her was something that we talked about last week. And I get it. Because that is some, like, she is the reason why he is not able to see the future. It's a break from being Dr. Manhattan, you know? So it makes sense. It's really cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna question it either. I'm not gonna be like, that's a bullshit.
Well, like, if you want relief or something, it's like any kind of star or anything that just wants to walk around normal.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, granted, they could have said like, oh, well, to avoid like his death or his supposed like the tragedy, he could have just avoided her.
Yeah, well, true. But again, the love thing, right? This is what he wanted.
Love.
All right. This was directed by Nicole Castle, written by Jeff Jensen and Damon Lindelof, the showrunner. All right. So, this was probably the Watchmen episode that Watchmen fans wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, this was a play to the fans because everybody wants to know what happened to Dr. Manhattan. You know, what has he been doing? What's been going on in all these years? And that's what they played off of on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was shot for me, you know, just kind of the storytelling narrative completely worked for me, you know, from the bar scene, because we're basically seeing this from Manhattan's view.
Yeah.
With time, there is no time, you know, I'm experiencing right now. I'm having this conversation.
And I think that's something in the comics, like he would talk about how he perceives time, but this did it so beautifully. Like, it showed us exactly how he experiences time in a very, like, easy to understand way too. Like, the way he would like bounce around and everything, the way he would react to things and be like, well, in 6 months, like, this is what's being said to me right now. Like, right now, this is where I am still.
Yeah.
And it was just done very clearly. Like, there was no bullshit with it.
Yeah. There was no need to question, I guess, what the hell was going on. You bought into the way he was telling it, as long as you went in there with kind of the open mind and understanding who this character is and who you're dealing with.
It was so simple.
And just to have, you know, that back and forth of, you know, him sitting across from Regina King and, you know, the conversations on, well, you're here celebrating the anniversary of your mom's death, your parents' death. How do you know that? Because you tell me 20 minutes from now.
Yeah.
You're just like, what the hell? Like,
and then she still does. Like, she doesn't like trip over like her being about to like tell him or anything. Like, it just comes out.
Well, okay. So let's get into that a little bit because it didn't trip her up there, but somehow like when we finally see him in the present, let's say, you know, and he's on the pool and they're having the conversation about where are the kids? Oh, they're at your grandfather's. He doesn't know them. And then she asks the question, you know, why did your grandfather kill that man? And he didn't know. And then he ends up doing it.
Yeah.
Now for me, I kept kind of going through different like scenarios in my head of how this happens. And the whole the chicken and the egg thing and
the paradox,
and the way it was explained is like they come together.
It was simple too. It was the way that they shot it, the way that the flow went. It wasn't anything that you were like, huh? It just flowed so well that you didn't have that moment of like, ah, there's a plot hole here. Not that I can think of one off the top of my head.
No.
But like, there's. It just flowed so well.
Well, yeah. And what it was, you know, we questioned a lot of things about the whys in this relationship in general and how do the kids become and how he can like read into her when she doesn't even know what's going on. And how did you feel there towards the end of this when he asked, like, this is the moment? And she's like, this is the moment you fall in love. And with that like statement there and the way she reacted, I was just like, man, this is kind of weird because he's known this from the first day he met you because of the whole time thing.
Yeah.
And
like that moment has always been there for him.
Yeah.
And, which is cool.
Yeah. And to kind of like run into those type of scenarios with him and just the way the actor acted as Dr. Manhattan and just coming through and once just kind of being so blunt, straight to the point.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. And again, I think the weirdest thing for me is that this was episode 8.
I know.
And
one more left.
We only have one more left. And do you think at any point we're going to get to some kind of real conclusion here? I mean, the way they're building this up is
so.
Like, you think that we're going to get...
I think this will be some type of conclusion. There will be loose ends, not like... There'll be a big conclusion to this part of the story. I think they're going to wrap this up very well, like you would the first 10 issues of like a comic, you know?
Okay.
But there's still more to go off of, still more that you can feed into. But I think that's how season ones typically work. I go back to it a lot just because it is an HBO show, but Westworld, I feel like did a really good job of, it could have just been just that, you know, it would have been better if it was just that, but anyway, it could have been just that. They didn't need to keep going into all these other questions.
I swear to God, between you and Mike, I hear the same fucking conversation about that show.
It's true though. Like, if anyone is interested in starting Westworld, absolutely do it. Go for it. But just stop after season one. It's fine. Just as one season.
Yeah. Like, you and Mike tell me the same exact shit all the time because I've had conversations with him when I'm in the studio about, you know, you can't force your next Game of Thrones. The next Game of Thrones has to happen.
Yeah. And I think that's what they were trying to do with Westworld. I mean, they even did like, a VR experience. They're not calling it a video game, but it's an experience, which I think was fucking stupid. But anyway, it's a game that like goes into it and stuff. And I think there was a lot that could have been done there with Westworld, you know, but they didn't.
Yeah. And so, cause I keep thinking that this potentially has those legs, this show itself. And that's when he brings up the whole Westworld thing. And he's like, yeah, and they thought the same thing with Westworld. And then they forced it down our throats and it didn't work as well.
No.
So I just keep wondering what's going to happen with this because, you know, I could see this being left open. Like if they reproduce Dr. Manhattan. And then
think of all the stories that they have to close. I think big ones that they'll close are Adrian, mostly because I'm sticking to True's thing of like, my father will be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still sticking with that's her daddy. The only other thing that I was like, kind of like questioning, like if he can have kids, like because True is so smart, because she knows like kind of like foreshadows like what's going to be here, you know, could be a child of Dr. Manhattan, but I don't think so. I think it's more of like Adrian's kid, and that's why she's so smart.
Well, then, okay, well, just that fact that you think Adrian could be coming back and he's the dad type scenario, I could see them creating a new Dr. Manhattan, and then Adrian has to be that catalyst to try to stop him.
That's what I was going to say, is I think Adrian's going to be able to save the world. Like, he was talking about his children back on Earth and how he needs to save them, because in this little glass prison that he's in, yeah, essentially.
His snow globe.
Yeah. They can't be saved because all they want to do is serve, you know? Which I feel like that he has to come back, and that's going to be his like swan song redemption, is that he does get to save the world.
Yeah.
In a different way, though.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, if you love our shows, share these links with your friends. With every shared review, helps us climb those charts. Get us back in the top 100 for TV review shows in America. I think the last time I checked, we're like 109. We're getting there. Whether you listen to Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, remember, share those links each and every episode. Also, check out the podcast description of this episode for details and purchase through our links. So the scenes between Dr. Manhattan and Adrian, you know, and the talks, I mean, like, we kind of had like these predictions going on, and that's why I said I almost should have just introduced this as, you know, the real crystal balls, because we kind of predicted that whole thing of some throwaway line that about creating life and everything else, that was Dr. Manhattan's sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the way that they told those stories and the creation of that place and everything else was just so simple and spot on.
Well, even the, like, for fans of Watchmen that were like, no, he's on Mars, there was none of that, like, bullshit moment where he was like, I was on Europa. Like, there was none of that. It was all so easy to take and so easy to swallow.
Yeah.
Like, at no point did you call bullshit on it. You were just like, okay, yeah, okay, keep going. Like, keep telling your story. You know, it wasn't one of those things where you stop and go, huh.
Well, and
fuck, I guess so.
And we even called the Adam, like, I think one of our first episodes, I go, is this the Adam and Eve?
You were talking about the Adam and Eve thing. I was like, I don't know, but no, you were right. You were spot on with it.
It's exactly what it was. It's so weird when we make like these kind of I'm just throwing softballs out there, just seeing
what
sticks. And like, it kind of makes sense when you start talking about a god and everything else. It's just like, well, you honestly, it doesn't matter if you're on like this side or any kind of Christian country, you always go back to the Bible and what the Bible means and that tree and everything else. And it kind of made sense. And just to have him sit there and explain the fact that I wasn't, you know, most gods make them in their own image. I made them of image that people that I kind of looked up to.
Yeah. And I appreciated that couple too, like who they were, like their little backstory. And it went by, it wasn't like a long, drawn out thing to make us care about them. Like, they were like, all right, you're already familiar with these characters. Just a simple little like push into the backstory of like John's life. And that's all that you need. It doesn't need to be overdone, big, grandiose, or anything. Like, it was so simple. And I feel like yes, we're saying like all the things that they're doing like are simple and easy to swallow, things like that. But it's also like, because they kept it simple, fucking brilliant.
Well, yeah, you don't sit there and get caught up in your own lies.
Yeah,
You know, it was such like a beautiful scene of him just like walking through and having these talks. And even, again, going back to the whole Bible type thing and having Angela sit there and be like, and let me guess, you rested on the seventh day. He's like, no, yeah. It took me 90 minutes.
Yeah.
You're just like...
Of course it was. And then, like, it's a man only taking that much time to do it. And he's like, a sex joke.
Yeah.
Funny. Like, I loved those. They did such a good job of writing Dr. Manhattan and Adrian, characters that we know. And I think it was like my boner hit me in the face when they were on screen together.
Yeah.
And the interaction with them together, because it always felt like kind of like a game of chess with them, but at such an elevated level that we didn't understand, that it was just like all you could do was oogle and ogle and not really understand what they were like saying until like the moment was there. But they did such a good job of having that chess game and having them like meld together this time and talk about how, like, remember last time you tried to kill me type of thing. And Adrian just putting it as like, that was plan B, as in blow up. This is plan A, as in amnesia. I was just like, this is fucking wonderful. Like, yeah. This is just like crusty, old, like Ozymandias. Like, just, I loved it.
Yeah.
I'm crusty.
Honestly, I thought about you a lot this episode when I was watching it.
Because you could tell the boner was hitting me in the face the whole time.
Yeah. So, yes, you were actually touching me with it from California. And I'm laying here in Arizona going,
hey, what's behind me?
Yeah. Roll over. Don't poke me in the back with that thing. Because it just, like, I think what it did was it treated, like, true fangirls like you are of this. Like, you love this more than anybody that I know. And then it hits, like, on my side of people that understand the story and what's going on. And I think they explained it simple enough that people that aren't familiar, that are just getting into this, understood. And I think that's a hard balance to come to when you're talking about the writing aspect of it. I mean, the acting was fucking excellent between them. Yes. But the writing of it has to be there for it to be, again, simple enough to hit your hardcore fans, hit your fans that are knowledgeable, and then hit your new fans.
Yeah.
And not treat any of them like they're fucking idiots.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what they did here. And it was an amazing kind of storytelling thing that I was just like, all right, well, this might not be the best episode they've done, but yeah, they've told a story that makes sense.
Yeah. I'm not questioning it. Like, I mean, we were just talking about this on Arrow with like time travel and just like questioning it the whole time and stuff. And with this, I feel like they were just smart about it. They were smart, and they looked at it as a viewer. They looked at it as a fan and just told their story. Like, I still look back, I think it was episode 4, of just like, what is it? Like, this is my story. Like, shut up. Basically, shut up and let me tell my story was the title of it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, write your own. That's what it is. Yeah. And at this point, it's like, this is honestly the best TV show. Like, I know we only have one left, but this is the best TV show I've watched ever.
Wow.
I can't think of anything better.
Okay.
I mean, I liked Battlestar Galactica. Had a lot of plot holes. Trying to think of other shows.
But it's like, always one of those things, like, we will see, like, because when you say a lot of plot holes, you're also dealing with something that ran 103 episodes or something like that.
Right, exactly.
And so it's one of those things. I think the first seasons are always pretty strong when the writing, it's like, again, later on, it's like, how deep can they go with this storyline of what's going on? And, you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier. It's so weird to kind of think that we're going into our season finale next week, but we really don't know what is going to happen or how this is going to end. You know, are we done with this racist storyline, or is this going to continue on? Is, you know, a new Dr. Manhattan going to come? Is, you know, and they just leave you there. And I could see them just totally leaving this on this huge cliffhanger that we might be stuck with for like a year, year and a half, if not longer.
I think Adrian's going to save the day. I feel like it's going to happen.
I wonder if they've, I'm going to look it up real quick, but I wonder if they have announced like a runtime, because HBO is always pretty good about like, hey, if you guys need 2 hours, we'll give you fucking 2 hours. Because I know the, one of the shows, Silicon Valley ended last night.
Yeah, it did. What a piece of shit that was. I just watched it this morning and I was just like, this is why I'm depressed. Because it was just not that, like, and my old roommate came over and he was just like, oh, you're watching this? And I'm like, yeah, what the fuck? He's like, I know. Me and my friend watched it last night and we were just like, what even is this?
Yeah, trust me, I was the same way.
So, I mean,
I wasted 5 years of my life for this.
And I know it's rare for me to say, but I have full faith in this. I have full faith in what
So
the
that's
last
over, so they could always take over the time.
And you guys know I'm always afraid to be excited for something
week, but,
that I love.
It says Star 67 Wars. Minutes, so they're going a little bit longer.
But
it says, so know, they've all been, you know,
I
a little bit under
whole,
an hour.
Speaking of like
next
Adrian
week, it says 67.
And stuff,
so
and the awesomeness of Antarctica. Oh, I was so excited when they like showed Angelica, him like walking through the snow. I'm like, we're going to the place. I'm super excited. But Adrian just talking about like going to paradise. And then he's there and like it appears that there can be like he can't have like any weapons or anything like that. And then like the horseshoe.
So the average looks like next week is going to be 67 minutes. So it's a little bit longer than we've gotten by like 10 or 15 minutes. They've been about 52 minutes apiece.
I don't know. We also got a cutscene at the end.
That is very true.
The little Easter egg.
I wonder how many people miss that.
I don't know. I feel like you can't be... I don't know.
You know what I was fast forwarding for? I would have missed
the ending?
100%. I would have I was trying to see what the preview was for next week.
Yeah, I didn't fast forward because like I like the music and stuff. And I was trying to look at all like the listings for like the songs and stuff. And a lot of them had like, it was like Blue Rhapsody, Blue, like they all had like blue in them and stuff. So I thought, I just love what they're doing with the music.
Oh yeah.
Blown that plenty of times. But, then just seeing that at the very end, like, I hope nobody missed that. Like, I had every intention of, like, texting you and being like, fuck it, wait for the end. Like, don't fast forward too far because of that little piece with Adrian. Like, I'm sorry your blue daddy isn't here. Like, I fucking love his voice. It's so good for the character.
Well,
and just
and
him being insane at the very end with his horseshoe.
So what they said was... The I was looking at the production notes that came out. Where did it say? The episode that featured the series' first post-credit scene after he was put on trial. Castle said that they opted to use a post-credit scene to avoid disrupting the calculated flow of the rest of the episode, comparing the scenes to the comics' additional material after each chapter.
Yeah. I loved it. That's why I felt it was so perfect, because they did like that with the comics, and that's what I thought was like a little nod to that. And I was like, fuck yeah, man.
Yeah, because
like, follow those formulas that were given to you.
No, exactly. You know, don't claim that there's no source material. Just, follow the pattern. You'll be fine. That was the thing. And when I read that, it made complete sense to me, because like, yes, if they would have jumped to the prison or anything else, the tomatoes and all the weird shit that was happening, and I mean, like, what the fuck does this have to do with the bar?
Yeah.
Type scene there. So now this was the first time we kind of got into major like special effects.
The whole episode,
With the glowing blue and walking on water.
I feel like that's been my critique these past few episodes, probably since episode 7, is there are pieces of like CGI moments where I'm just like, why did we decide to do that? And same with this episode. There, like, I feel like that is only thing wrong with this show is the CGI in
here. Because when he was glowing and walking on water, I just wasn't digging it. It was, again, one of those moments that we always talk about on all our shows. It's like, just don't take us out of the moment. If you take us out of the moment, it's bad.
You fucked up. Yeah, and they did. And it kind of felt like a sizing issue, too. Did you feel that? Like,
is that what it was?
It felt like sizing issue. It felt like, and I know Glow is hard because it requires practical along with the CGI.
Yeah, with like it's the good overlay. To have
like they should have had like a blue light over him or under him in the water, like something around him with an actual blue light to help create that around him. So that way it's easier for your artist to go in and add that. But I just felt that it just made him stick out like a sore blue thumb.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. Like it brought him forward too much. And I get with light, you're going to be brought forward more, but it brought me out of it because it was too unnatural.
Yeah. He was fine when he wasn't glowing.
Yeah. And I get that's why they like had those moments of like, why aren't you glowing? Like I can, if I want to, but like I would be, it'd be, you know, a giveaway, which was smart.
Yeah. So that was the only kind of, I guess, critical thing that I didn't like about this episode. But the whole thing leading up to this very end scene where, you know, we talked a little bit about it before, to where she's all, you know, or he's all, this is when I fall in love, and she's just being her badass self, trying to take the whole Calvary out by herself.
Hell yeah.
Dude, there was pieces of me that I'm like, Wade's gonna come in.
I know. Where? Oh shit! Where's Wade?
Right. Honestly, this in my head, that's what I was going with. I'm like, Wade's coming in because Wade's probably watching these motherfuckers.
Oh fuck. He's there right now.
He's
down there with the Calvary with the machine. I'm sure. And maybe he'll sab. I don't know.
They leave those moments where I was almost expecting, and again, we know with Dr. Manhattan that he knows everything that's going on. And after that thing got removed from his head, he knew that shit was going to go bad. He knew everything was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was honestly expecting him not to realize that Wade was going to be there to save him.
I mean, I was hoping, and part of me too, because he does have, I'm calling it a dampener still, because he doesn't have that anymore. I can't understand for the life of me why he allows for himself to get killed. Because at this point, that's still how I see it.
Like,
he knew it was going to happen. He could have exploded that guy behind him.
Because he definitely exploded everybody else.
Yeah.
So you think that he thinks there's a bigger purpose for it and he's allowing this to happen?
Possibly. I don't know. Like, there has to be something, because I can't understand why he lets it happen. Other than the fact of where he talks about, like, haven't you ever done anything you regret? Like, as someone who knows everything that will happen, maybe there are some things that you have to let play out, but...
What are we on, Oliver? We're on the groundhog scene of freaking Arrow?
Right?
Oliver, well, you can't save everybody. Destiny's destiny. Just let it fucking happen.
But that was my Mia Smoke impression.
Yeah.
Just kidding. She's gotten a lot better. Anyway, no, but I feel like there will be that explanation, and unfortunately Angela won't get it, but Lori will, I think.
Hmm. So
Lori's gonna be there, and Lori's gonna see him, and she's gonna be pissed.
Well, what do you think? How do you think she's going to react now that his physical appearance has technically changed?
Well, that's one of the things I was thinking is, like, is she going to see him and then be like, why the fuck do you look like Angela's husband? Like, that type of thing. And then that...
She's like, this is why I had the boner for you?
Right. Like, part of that will be revealed. And I think she's going to be so incredibly hurt by it.
Because
she's already dark side, dark humor. Like, how much darker can you go with her? And I love her story and like where she is. Like, she's basically forced to work for the FBI until she gets pardoned. And that's why she's here, you know, to get pardoned, to get what's his nut to be president. So that way she can get pardoned.
Yeah.
And be fucking done with all this. Go on an island somewhere and be away from everyone. Go be crusty like Adrian is.
So, and that is 100%. They're going to be like such a weird interaction between those two.
Yeah, but it's like so exciting as a fan. Like, yeah. This is like all I ever wanted.
Are you worried about pacing coming into this last episode if we really have to close all this shit out?
No, because they've done such a fucking good job so far.
It just seems like when you think about it, 12 episodes makes a lot more sense than 9.
I know, I told them that. They didn't listen to me.
Because it just, you know, we have Wade floating around. We have True, her daughter, Adrian.
Her daughter/mama.
Yeah, daughter/mama. You know, the Hood of Justice is still hanging out with the grandkids now.
But he's kind of served his purpose. Like, that's kind of tied up for right now.
You think that's done, over and done with?
Like, I could be okay with that for the season, being like, that's fine. Like, there with Grandpapa. And then the big stories are, like, Lori, Dr. Manhattan, that I want to see. Adrian coming back, being saved, because I feel like that has to happen. What the fuck is happening to True? Because she's like, I'm going to save the world. But how? You know, like, I feel like those are the big ones. And where Angela was left. Mostly because, like, you wrote a fucking great character and I give so much shits about her. I know that was a terrible sentence. I'm sorry, guys. I give so much shits about her.
how important it is. It's so much shits.
That's how important it is. I can't even talk right. But there are things that need to be tied up. And Wade, of course, too. That there are little pieces that we can dive into more next season if they want it to be another season. But I think this is a story that was written with the intent of possibly having another season, but I think ultimately they're going to tell a story that's complete.
So you think, well, they'll kind of go with the anthology type scenario?
Yes.
We could end this right here if we wanted to, and if we want to continue, we can go a different direction.
Yeah.
Because I could definitely see her going to the vigilante route, getting out of the cops. Creating a new Watchman, something like that. I don't know.
It would. So if Senator White Man, what's his butt, you know, gets killed, then that's like their head honcho gone.
Mm-hmm.
So that could leave room for another issue or another hot topic for them to talk about next season, you know, or other things to come up. Because it would be pretty fucking cool for this to have like a little political message about maybe not political. I hate saying that, but a message about the world that we're in, you know, and fighting for expressing what's going on, you know,
well, yeah,
from another perspective.
Well, again, and do it like you did it this year. Do it without preaching.
Did such a good job. Education.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's you get educated by each and every one of these shows, and it's not just so preachy one side of the house type scenario. It's like, here are the facts. Come up with your own fucking decision. It's fucked up.
Well, because they do play both sides of it. Think of like it's not part of our history, but that museum and the Redford like funds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people that are completely against it that are obviously like right wing and everything. And it played both sides to that.
True.
And I found it so completely interesting. And you will have people that will be like, no, the government shouldn't help people type of thing. But then you have, like, for me, I looked at that and I'm like, yeah, we fucking should have that. Like, I'll pay taxes for, like, white people bullshit that we did. Like, I think, you know, that needs to be paid at least a fucking little bit.
Well, shouldn't you claim your Hispanic side so you don't have to pay those taxes?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but, like... I guess, but I would feel so like, but still like, you know, slavery was a thing that we did. We should probably, you know, fucking help.
So.
Or say we're sorry with money.
Yeah. Money doesn't make everything better, but it does sometimes.
Yeah, it, I think it does.
Yeah.
What can money buy? Ice cream.
What makes me happy? Ice cream.
What makes me happy? Ice cream. I mean, even if you're lactose intolerant, non-dairy ice cream. Or, they have that now.
Or it's get great. Some lactate.
Yeah. I mean, non-dairy ice cream's fucking delicious. Have you ever had Natamu? Just regular vanilla? It's delicious and your lips feel so smooth afterwards.
Just to let everybody know, Natamu is not a sponsor of the show. This is
but
a personal.
If they would like to be, that's the best commercial ever.
This is a personally endorsed product by Angelica Dawn.
Going on Instagram being like, dear Natamu, sponsor me. I would get so fat. Oh, fuck.
You're like, it's non-dairy. I can eat more. You're like, that's not how calories work.
That is not how that works. In a magical world, maybe. Anyway, back to Watchmen.
Okay.
To listening to our commercial.
Yes. Are you ready to be mad?
Why?
Golden Globes got announced today.
I saw that Jojo Rabbit was on there, which is neat.
Watchmen didn't get any nominations for anything.
But I thought Golden Globes were more for movies, right?
No, best television series, drama, Little Lies, The Crown, Killing Eve, The Morning Show, and Succession. Best performance by an actress in a television series, drama, Jennifer Aniston, Olivia Colman, Jodie Comer, Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon. Yeah, so they...
Suck a dick, come on, no. Like, is this because it's too late in this, like, for them to get, maybe for next year? Is that what it is?
No, because honestly, because I've been watching The Morning Show, which was one of the HBO things, and that just came out too. And they're on the same damn episode we are. So...
What the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't understand this, and maybe it's just not... Because, I mean, Mr. Robot's nominated. Mr. Robot's on, like, its third episode of the season.
Do you like Mr. Robot? But is it for Mr. Robot last year? I don't...
No, I mean, last year, it was off last year. I don't think they had a season last year.
You're right, they didn't. Because they didn't have a presence at Comic-Con, really.
Yeah, they didn't freak everybody out with it. Yeah, so I was kind of disappointed this morning when I went and saw that they got nominated and, you know, or the nominations came out and there's nothing in here for Watchmen at all. And it just shocked me because I figured alone... We would see a couple of
music,
them.
At least.
Yeah, well, the Golden Globes doesn't do music. It's always based around actors and.
Oh, I thought that it would be like score and stuff.
I don't see a score category.
Dumb. But they also combine musical and comedy together for awards, so they're just fucking stupid.
Yeah, that never makes sense to me.
That never makes sense to me. Two completely fucking different things. One's a piece of shit, and the other one's great. Musicals are awful. Either sing. Or talk. You can't do both unless you're a Disney movie.
Well, and that's always the thing about that stupid musical comedy category. Usually the musical that gets nominated is something that, you know, is outstanding and nobody's seen before. So they're going to win over whatever people find funny these days.
Yeah. Although I hope Jojo Rabbit wins. And if you haven't seen it, go see it. It's fucking delightful. I'm doing a bunch of commercials today for nothing we're sponsored by.
Hey, people want to know what we like, but I honestly, I was just surprised that it didn't show up at all. Again, just
angry. I'm not surprised. I'm angry that they didn't get anything. Like, yeah. I feel like they could have won so much. Like,
I figured
costume for color, just fucking.
We might get that for the Emmy Awards because that's what they go out. Like those are more technical type awards. So you know when the primetime Emmys come out or whatever, it might be there. But as far as the Golden Globes went, there was nothing Watchmen related. And again,
Golden
Globes
are basic. You basic Golden Globes.
Yeah, man, you could have even put Regina King in there for the color category because I think these are all white women.
There's a color category?
No, like checking that box of like we got a person of color nominated.
Oh my gosh, it is a bunch of white people nominated.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Super
Golden
white people too.
Globes. You basic and you fucked up. Like, oh no.
So.
Oh.
Anyway, I just was kind of shocked with that coming out of, like, especially these last freaking episodes that have just been absolutely amazing. And again, nothing was wrong with this one. It doesn't, you know, rate for me as high as those first two, like the last two that we've done, but there was absolutely nothing wrong with that. So
I think I even text you and I was like, this isn't their best episode, but it's still so fucking good. Like,
still better than a lot of the shit we watch.
Oh, I binge watched The Marvelous Miss Maisel in season one. That got nominated too. Of course it did. Season one of that was great. Season two was good. And this was just not great to the point where like every episode had like a filler of either like a musical number, some type of fucking dancing, some type of fluff was added to it in every episode. I'm like, so you're telling me that this could have been done in like four episodes probably if you didn't add all this extra bullshit.
Yeah, well, you got to fill episodes somehow,
I guess. But also like there's just so many things like. If you're adding fluff for no reason, like, I guess you could be like, it's to set the atmosphere. Nah, you've fucking done that. You're a period piece.
Yeah, you're a couple seasons in, so.
Yeah, like, you fell flat. And I'm like, what? The reason why I'm bringing this up, guys, is part of me is like, did Watchmen just ruin everything for me? Because they nail everything. Costume, like, atmosphere, like, just like there are points where there are like I could just pause and just be like, this is like a beautiful fucking shot, like camera work, photography, every fucking piece of this minus CGI is great.
Keep with your practical effects, they've worked so much better, like shooting a cow in the first episode, you know. Yeah. And stuff like that. So well, all right. Anything else on this episode before we go to break and get into them final thoughts?
No, do you want me to do one more commercial for random shit?
I don't know. Is there anything else that she caught your eye on in the last 5 minutes?
No.
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll let Angelica look around the room for something else to promote.
Just eyeballing these bananas, but the only thing coming to mind is like, bananas, get your potassium, and they're shaped like dicks. The best kinds of foods are shaped like dicks. Like, that's basically all I got.
All right, we're going to get into final thoughts here. Angelica, what's your number?
87.
Okay.
The lowest Watchmen's ever been, and it's not like it was a bad episode. It had... like member berries for me, like not actually. I don't know if you can say they're member berries because they built on the member berries.
It was
they
something
built
that
on things that are already there.
It felt familiar for you,
right? Exactly. Acting was really good. Camera was really great. I think the show has just built it up so high for me that it's that like this was just okay. Like they told their story. It was great. I think. The biggest pothole for me is going to be, why did Dr. Manhattan let himself get captured / killed, possibly? So that's where I'm stuck at. And I guess it really does hinge on the next episode for this rating. But as of right now, like it's 87.
Okay. I'm going to go 90 on this. What I recognize with HBO shows a lot of times, they do follow a pattern, and sometimes they bring down that second to last episode just a little bit to fucking blow your mind away in the last episode.
Oh, I have no doubt they're going to do that.
Yeah. And so, again, nothing was wrong. The acting, the way that the time travel was explained, or, you know, not time travel, but Dr. Manhattan's view of time or how he experiences time was explained so beautifully that nobody could ever question. Like, I didn't get it. Can you explain that to me again? You know, as he's experiencing these different things all at the same time, you know, the actor, you know, that played Cal and then transforms into Dr. Manhattan, you know, just played off both those roles so fucking perfect. I'm going to give it up to him for, you know, getting in super good shape, obviously. You know, I'm sure, I don't know what time they told him that, hey, dude, you're going to be a naked guy running around, but you better get your abs on. So, yeah.
Big old dick, too. I wonder if that was a stand-in or if that was just his big old dick. Like, at what?
Like stunt cock?
Well, because HBO does that. Like, they did it all the time with Game of Thrones. They use, like, porn stars and stuff like that for, like, stand-in for stunt cocks and boobies and butts and stuff. So, like, I'm wondering, I'm like, what does it take for an actor just to be like, yeah, I'm fucking good with this, like, show my big old dick or whatever, like.
Hey, can you stop rubbing it in the robe before you take it off? You're getting your blue paint on it. Yeah, that's just one of those things. It was like, when that happened, I was like, of course they have to show it.
Yeah, it's HBO.
Well,
I didn't think of it until it was there, and I'm like, oh, fuck, yep, that's a big, big old peener.
Yeah.
Of course there's a big old peener in here. It's HBO. We're going to see at least some tits and or boobies or donger or whatever.
Did we see dick before we saw tit?
I think we've only seen dick.
I think so, too. No, the chick was naked, too. The clones.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, because we saw a wiener there, too.
I feel like the dick is more... I feel like the dick is more... The dick is more!
There's definitely been more dick.
Yes.
That doesn't affect my rating at all.
It doesn't at all.
No.
That's fine.
Yeah, I watch enough porn. I know what dick looks like. I don't know if this has to do with anything now. I'm sidetracked just thinking of nudity now. You got the Mr. Skin of Rain Man going.
I'm just thinking of my joke of, like, my dick, my boner, like, hitting me in the face overall, like, the Watchmen stuff happening in here. But I'm like, I think that guy's dick could hit him in the face.
Oh, man. All right. So you gave it an 87? Was that your number?
Yes. I was thinking of the comparison to the dildo that she had, too. And I was like, oh, yeah, it does have to be big. Look how big that dildo is.
He's just like, we're gonna model this after you. Like, holy shit.
You're gonna kill
a man with that, or a woman, or anybody.
You could kill anyone with that. Like, oof.
Oof. How'd you break your jaw? Sorry.
Well, let me tell you, Dr. Manhattan.
Oh, Jesus. This got sidetracked real quick. See what penis does to you? Or me? Or both of us? I don't know.
I'm blushing.
Oh, geez. Well, luckily you're not on camera, so nobody will see. And
Thank God.
You can go and watch more of that peener later.
I'm just having it on repeat right now.
Like, I'm just making a gif of him walking and just on my phone over and over again. Just swinging dick.
Well, then I was thinking, too, I was like, they didn't show him walking around with his big old dick in Antarctica. Probably because, like, you know, Antarctica is cold.
There's rules for when I'm going to show my wiener. All right.
It has to be warm over 75 degrees.
On a good blood flow day.
One thing I do have a question about.
Okay. Is it wiener?
No. I mean, yes, but no. So Adrian has been the one teleporting the squids in, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So if he's gone, who's doing that still?
Huh. I didn't even think about that.
I did. Don't worry.
Because, yeah, he was fucking around with people.
Yeah, he was the one that was keeping the fear instilled, you know? So, if he's not there to do that, like...
How does it keep happening?
How does it... Yeah.
Because it's definitely happened in this day and age, because it happened at the beginning when she already had the kids.
Yeah.
Huh.
And there hasn't been that... Like, it would have been the point, like... Because I'm trying to think of time travel right now and time jumps and everything and when he could have gone to him. But I'm assuming it's... Still, it was in the same moment. It had to have been 10 years before now, right?
Yeah. I mean, because that was the...
Wait, how many candles were on his fucking cake? Ooh.
He was on the fourth candle.
No, at the very end of the episode, I thought it was like 8.
It was it?
How many candles? Ooh. How many candles were on there? Because then that would tell us.
Thought it was only 4. I
think it was like 8. Maybe if it was only 4.
It could have been
Shit. But depending on that would tell us like when, how long he's been there.
Yeah.
Because they're together 10 years.
Hmm. I don't know.
I don't know, guys. Find out how many candles were on Adrian's cake, you know, at the very end with his fucking horseshoe. I love how that played in, too. I feel bad giving an 87, but I feel still like they haven't done anything really wrong other than CGI.
Yeah, when you talk
about it, all does hinge on next episode.
Yeah, when you talk 87, it's not like it's a bad thing. That's a huge number for the way we write TV shows.
True.
So, all right. I think that'll do it for today's Wiener Talk on DC on RMD, Watchmen Edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future Wiener Talks on DCOnRMD.com. Be sure to follow us on all our social medias, and we will be back next week for the season finale.
Mother of God! Would you look at the time? When you came here, you had an hour.